Welcome to the My Favorite Sister podcast.
We're two 30-something sisters trying to keep in touch from across the world.
That's Sarah. She's a younger one and lives in England.
And that's Elizabeth. She's the older one and lives in Los Angeles. And we're here to help you procrastinate.
So sit back and enjoy whatever random discussion we decide to have this week. Hey everybody, welcome back to the My Favorite Sister podcast.
What's up? We're back.
Yeah, hope everyone enjoyed their Thanksgiving. And Thanksgiving's over. Forget Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving's dead.
Yeah, the turkey is dead. The potatoes are mashed and eaten. It's time for corny Christmas.
Yes, thank God. Christmas is here. I mean, behind the scenes, to be perfectly honest, it's pre-Thanksgiving as we're recording this, and I feel like I'm doing this for you all.
How was your Thanksgiving?
Yeah, it was great. Ate lots of food, you know. I feel like you could just say, like, I drank too much, I ate too much food. The end of Thanksgiving.
I was so full.
I watched the parade, I watched the dog show.
Can you believe that dog won the dog show?
Oh my God.
Can't believe
it. I'm just going to call it. Can you believe that the French Bulldog won the dog show this year? Or if it was Tim, he'd want the Dachshund to win. He'd be like, can you believe the Dachshund won?
It was either going to be that or, you know, the Yorkshire Terrier. Can you believe the Terrier won? Like,
oh my God. Can you believe the Golden Noodle? The Golden Noodle won? Which I don't even think is in. No. I don't think that's like recognized.
Obviously, they do the dog show like well in advance of when they actually air it. So they always edit out. Course. I'm like, there's always these cute, floofy-looking dogs, and I'm like, I want to see them, but then they cut them out, and I'm like...
I know. They never show all the dogs. It's annoying, but yeah, I can't believe that dog won this year. That's crazy.
Amazing.
But yes, we're ready to talk Christmas movies, and I'm saying, for all the listeners out there, I'm doing this for you. I typically refuse to watch Christmas movies until after Thanksgiving, but in order for us to put out this podcast, I've watched them far in advance, and I'm not in the Christmas spirit yet.
I mean, what are we supposed to do when Netflix is dropping
the
first Christmas movie of the season, Love Hard, on November 5th?
That's so early. I know,
I know. I kind of, like 2 years ago, they kind of got away with it, because there was that one with Kristen Davis and Rob Lowe and the elephants.
Yes.
And it was kind of a Christmas movie, but not really. It was like they just mentioned, there was like one Christmas tree in one scene.
Yeah.
And so they kind of got away with dropping that like mid-November. And I was like, what is this like little sleeper movie that's actually pretty good? But Love Hard is like a full-on, like, yes, it's a Christmas movie set around Christmas. They've been promoting it as a Christmas movie.
Yes.
There's no denying it.
It's too early. Netflix, I mean, why can't we just do it after Thanksgiving? Like, start day of Thanksgiving. You could even do it on Thanksgiving. Would be fine. I feel like you eat your dinner, then you watch your first Christmas movie. You're good.
True.
But anyways.
Perfect.
Before we get into that, I feel like we should do a little reset, just in case we have any new listeners, because we've been talking for, like, you know, 5 minutes. We haven't said our names. So, for any new listeners out there, this is the My Favorite Sister podcast. I'm Elizabeth. I'm based in L.A.
And I'm Sarah. I'm based in Cambridge, England.
Yes. I feel like you've been all over the place in England in the past couple weeks.
Yeah, you know, since I was, like, back home in October, or, like, for most of October, that's, like, prime, like, UK autumnal time, and so obviously we didn't go anywhere or do anything, so it was, like, kind of getting back, like, the end of the month. Took, like, a whole month to, like, get over my jet lag, or not a whole month, a whole week, to, like, get over my jet
whole
lag.
Whole month, and I think you had a lot going on there.
And get back in the groove of, like, being back at work and stuff. But then we were like, okay, let's try and do some things for the next few weekends, because then I'm like almost turning right around and going back to the US like in like 3 or 4 weeks time. So yeah, we did this weekend we went to go see the gray seals, because there is a seal colony on the Norfolk coast at one specific beach, which we'd always wanted to go to but couldn't go last year because of COVID, and then the year before we just had just learned about it, and so we didn't go. But they start having baby seals, like, the first week of November. So we're like, let's go now. Yeah, and they have them all the way through March. So it's not like we couldn't have gone later, but we're like, what else are we going to do? And we're like, the weather this weekend, actually, the forecast was, like, pretty average. And we went to, we drove, it's like an hour and 45 minutes, which, I don't know, to some British people, they'd be like, aghast because it's so far away. But to, like, us Americans, we're like, that's like me driving to, like, my grandma's house.
An hour and 45 minutes. It's like my
that's what I drive to get to dinner. Like, yeah, so, but there's, like, a National Trust thing there that is a wind pump. So it's not a windmill because it's not like grinding flour, but it's pumping water. Because like basically that whole area of England, when climate change hits, it's like fucked because it's below the ground is below sea level. There's only ground there because they pumped all the water out. when you read the history, it's all about, oh, it was like a center for like piracy and like smuggling and all this stuff. And so in the 1700s, the like lords and the king or whoever was like, we gotta get this under control, and they did it by pumping all the water out and turning it into farmland. So it's below the water table. So when you go to the beach, they have these huge man-made like sand dunes to like block the ocean. But it also means you get a great vantage point to look down on the beach to see the seals, and there's like all like I think there was around, like, 1,100 seals total, and there was, like, 70 baby ones so far. So,
I mean, yeah, I was about to say, like, lot. Let's get to the important part where they're little seals.
Yeah, the baby seals. I guess they're called, like, seal pups because they really do look like dogs, and they were so cute. We learned lots little of facts pups. Because we, like, walked up. They have, you know, I think they alternate which areas they have open to visitors so that it's not, like, doesn't get too crowded anywhere. So we went up the one bit, kind of walked along the dunes, you take photos. For one section, I, like, stood next to one of the seal wardens, because there's, like, a charity group that, like, runs the whole situation. And she was talking to these two ladies, so I was just, like, eavesdropping, because I was like, I did zero pre-research. I just saw someone that I know posted a photo of them last week from when she went to go see them, and I was like, this is cute, let's go.
Like, yeah, I see pets.
Yeah, I was like, we don't have anything planned for Saturday, let's go. I was like, the weather says it's going to be 52, and kind of cloudy. Let's do it. Like, and then we did that, and then we ended up walking maybe like a half mile further down to another viewing area where we had almost the whole thing to ourselves because it was so far from the parking lot. So that was like very picturesque and quiet and nice. Nice. So we were there for about 2 hours just admiring the seals. But yeah, it kind of started a little, we went and saw this historic wind pump, so we got to climb all the way to the top and like be out on this balcony where you could like touch the wind pump. It's not, they've just recently restored it and reopened it. So you're basically climbing up stairs that are essentially a ladder. And I was like, this is like way more up in this thing than I thought they were going to let us go.
No.
I almost wasn't going to do the last bit because of getting down. But then he was like, oh, well, you can go out onto the, you know, outside and see. And I was like, oh, well, I mean, I have to do that.
Yeah, sure.
Ironically, the actual descent down, the steepest one was the easiest because it was basically like a ladder. So you could just hold on to the steps and be going straight down. The other ones that were more tilted like steps was harder because you're trying to like look down like behind you almost to the next step. But we did it. We did it. And while we were doing that, the rain passed and then the sun came out a bit. So that was nice. But yeah, we did that. We went to the weekend before. We did a whole long weekend in Canterbury, an overnight. Just because we were like, what little towns are there within a 2-hour drive? It actually took us 3 hours to get there the first day because you have to cross a bridge that's basically going across, like, the river, the Thames, but, like, outside of London. And for whatever reason, it was, like, really gooed up and stuff. So basically, that was 45 minutes of torture because I really needed to go to the bathroom. once we got across, there was a McDonald's, and I was like, thank you. To the UK McDonald's are like a class unto their own. They're really clean and really nice. And I just ran in and used the bathroom. I was like, never again will I drink coffee in the morning before getting into the car. Too much liquid.
I feel like McDonald's here is real hit or miss.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate that there's always a source for a bathroom.
Exactly.
But like I wanted to stop one time. We were like coming back from Tim's parents, I think, to our parents, and like, we stopped. I was like, I really need an iced tea. Like, I just need one to make it. And also, we can go to the bathroom. And just, like, the bathroom was, like, disgusting. And It was like a whole thing. I was like, oh, God. Okay, great. Thanks, McDonald's. You're usually a pretty good source of a bathroom.
Yeah, but especially anyways, during, we'll like, COVID times when we'd be driving places because we'd be like, nothing will be open except for McDonald's. So,
except McDonald's, will. I know. That actually was tricky here because sometimes they would be like, the indoor space isn't open. And you're like, well, I need to go to the bathroom, though.
Yeah. They're pretty good here. Like, most the main motorways have, like, proper rest stop areas with, like, you know, toilet facilities and stuff. But sometimes we're usually on, like, roads that are just one level off of being a main road, so they don't have them. Or it'll be like, the next services is in 50 miles. And we're like, well, that's too far.
Well, when Dad and I were doing the drive from, like, Virginia to Texas or whatever, like, literally the rest stops in all of Arkansas were closed. And I was like, what are you supposed to do if you have to go to the bathroom? Like, drive through an entire state to do it? So
it's crazy. It's crazy. Whatever. Yeah, the rest stops here are usually more like a gas station and a few restaurants and stuff, so that helps. But yeah, so we went to Canterbury, and it was pretty cute. It was, you know, they have, like, a big cathedral there. Obviously, it's Canterbury Tales. We went on, like, a little ghost tour and got some history. Sounds like it's, like, a super haunted place, and I would never not stay at our very modern hotel that we... our very modern Hampton Inn by Hilton. That was actually built over, like, when they were... Basically, this whole town is just built upon layers and layers and layers of, like, Roman ruins. So when you walk into the hotel, you, like, walk up a little bit, and then they have a whole section of the floor that's just, like, I don't know, acrylic clear plexi, and you can see below where they excavated and found Roman ruins, so it's, like, kind of freaky because you can, like, walk right over it. I walked around it every time, but it was really cool to see into it. I was like, I'm not falling through this plastic floor. Like,
no.
But that was really cool. And because of that, we went to, they have, like, a Roman museum, and you walk in, there's, like, the little kiosk, and then you walk down a set of stairs, and when you get down this, like, two flights of stairs or so, they're like, you're now at Roman street level. And you're like, oh, shit. Oh, like,
cool.
That's crazy. So it's, like, because it's the whole town is just built up so high because of all of the ruins that have fallen and just changed the level of the ground.
Interesting. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. So, yeah, and the town itself is huge. I mean, obviously, it's a big tourist trap, but I think they have a university there, so they have, like, a lot of, like, maybe, like, 50,000 students, so that helps. There was definitely some, you know, nightlife going on, which was hilarious. At one point, we're on the ghost tour, and these, like, group of, you know, lads, I would say, walked by, and one of them was just like, where is she? Where did she go? Like, so plastered. And I'm like, it's like 9:30. It was like 9:30 on a Saturday. Like, it was not even, I was like, why are y'all out? Like, you should still be in your dorms doing pre-drinks. Like,
maybe they're like our age where it's like, yeah, 9:30, that's great. I can be in bed by 10.
They were definitely looked like they were about 19. So it was just really funny.
Well, never mind then.
They were just already hammered. It was pretty funny. But yeah, there was some really good food, and there was two American like import stores, which just makes me crack up so hard because in the windows they just have, like, all these, it'll be, like, 50 flavors of Pop-Tarts, and I'm like, I've never heard of any of these. And then they have, like, hot Cheetos, and then they had, like, Takis, but they were blue Takis. And they have all these weird...
I don't think I've ever seen a blue Takis.
Yeah, right? They've always have, that's what I'm saying, they always have these weird stuff. They have a whole display of cereals, and you can just see it through the windows. And I just, every time I walk by one, wherever we're at, I'm just like, this is ridiculous. Because I'm like, I want all the British people walking by me right now to hear that I'm not British. And I refuse to pay £12 for a bag of hot Cheetos. And I love Cheetos. They're my favorite snack. But I refuse. Because Jack was like, these prices are probably crazy. I was like, oh, yeah. He pointed out a bag of some sort of candy. I was like, let me guess. It's £7. And he was like, yeah, how did you know? I was like, because all of these places charge insane prices. There's opening one in Cambridge, too. And I was just like, ugh, no. Like, I was like, I can already tell you, I'm not going to pay, like, £12 for a box of Captain Crunch.
Oh, that's like $3 at the most, I feel like.
Yeah, so it's crazy. The prices they try and charge is insane. Well, yeah, all the sugary cereals and stuff. It's just funny because they also have stuff like Reese's and Pringles. And I was like, I can buy those at Tesco.
Like, those actually exist.
Yeah, I was like, they sell them. I bought two things of Pringles this weekend because they were on sale for £1. Weird. Like, so I was like, you don't need to buy these at, like, a weird import, overpriced import store when you can just get them at the Aldi. Like,
you should just, like, undercut them and, like, get a little stand, you know, and, like, stand, like, be like, I'll sell you. So you buy them from Tesco, and you just meet the price in the middle. So it's like, so you buy them for, like, a dollar. They're charging 12. You charge people 7. You're like, I'm making $6 profit right there.
So true. I mean, if they were going to start selling, like, Clausen's pickles, then maybe I would pay, like, 12 pounds every once in a while for a jar. That's a whole different ball game. But, yeah, it's just crazy. I feel like
we've talked about that on this podcast before in the pickle, the pickle situation.
Yeah. So, but, yeah, I feel like the weekend before. That sounds fun. I feel like we did do something the weekend before, but I can't remember what it was. So, and then next weekend, we currently don't have anything planned. We were going to go and try it and see Bond. Because I've seen it, but Jack hasn't seen it. But I think it'll be out of the little theater that we normally go to. So we're going to go see it tomorrow night instead and have, like, a Monday movie. Which we're like, wow, who are we? Like, going out places on weeknights?
See, I feel like you guys have been traveling. All I've done the past 2 weekends is watch movies. So this past, I feel like last weekend I watched one of the movies we're going to talk about today. And then this weekend I watched Dune. Mm. I watched the other movie we're going to talk about today, and then last night, watched Bond.
Oh, yes, because you guys have, like, all the fancy channels, so you can watch them at home, right?
Well, I mean...
For Dune and stuff?
I think Dune has been on HBO Max since it got released, because they have, like, some deal. But Bond just got released, so you could rent it or whatever.
Oh, nice.
On Tuesday, so... And Tim's been really, like... I know he's bummed, because he wanted to, like, see it in the theater, but...
Yeah.
I think he's still not 100% comfortable with that situation, which, you know.
That's fair.
I get it. But yeah, so we watched that last night. So all I've been doing is watching movies. Haven't gone anywhere. Haven't left this apartment, practically.
Busy. So, I don't know. So yeah, much here. Movies. We're starting to get to where the weather, it, like, turns. It could go either way. It could be, like, chilly and, like, 50, and that's still pretty nice. Or it could be, like, rainy and 50, and you're like, ugh, that's disgusting. I'm not going outside. So really, you just have to play it by ear. And sometimes it works out. Because this weekend, it rained a little bit in the morning on us. And then by the time we actually got to where we were going, it was fine. So sometimes you just have to go for it and just wear a rain jacket. But I think this weekend, we might... I don't know. I told Jack that this weekend was his weekend to fill with an activity. Because I picked the last two. And then the following weekend, we're going to go see Harry Potter improv type show, comedy show at a place in Cambridge. Well, we were supposed to go
two years ago,
you know, so not last year because of COVID, the year before, and literally the day that we were supposed to go, I had a fever, and I've maybe in my whole life had, like, a fever once or twice, so, yeah, and it was probably because our boiler broke, so we didn't have heat for, like, 2 days, and it was really, really cold. I, like, had to go to the gym to shower. I was just in bed for 2 days straight, like, with an electric blanket, and that was it, and, like, as many layers as possible. So probably because of that, I got, like, a really bad illness of some kind, so I had a fever for a day or two, so we couldn't go to the show. So, I was like, no. I was like, the one, and that was before I had a job, so I was like, ugh, but I spent money on this. Like, it wasn't cheap. Money. And now I'm like, oh, $12 a ticket? Sounds great.
Cool. Well, that sounds fun. Well, I'm surprised you guys aren't busy with house buying activities or whatever.
Yeah, it's kind of chugging along. We had our, like, inspection done, so now we've hired, I think we've now found, every further inspector person that we need to come and do, like, full quotes. So now it's in the hands of the estate agent to coordinate that with the current owners.
Fun.
Since, obviously, it's, like, a property, because I don't know why they, like, don't want to let the estate agent people just walk the, you know, roof inspector around. They're like, no, we have to be there. And, like, when we got started on it, like, early last week or almost 2 weeks ago, and they're like, oh, well, no one can come until after November 19th. So we're like, okay, well, that takes the pressure off us a little bit, try and find the last two people.
Yeah, you're like, okay, great.
But yeah, so we have plumber, electrician, roofer, windows, and chimney. So basically the whole house.
Yeah, right. Well, all right, that's fun. Let's see. Yeah, nothing exciting on my agenda other than watching movies. So watch Dune, which, I don't know. Have you seen that? I assume not.
No. Nope. I've not seen the new one or the original.
No, I haven't seen the old one. But I really enjoyed the new one. You know, it's a little bit slow, but I'd say overall I really liked it. And then we watched Bond, which I really liked as well,
honestly. Yeah, I really liked Bond, for sure. That's why I'm willing to, you know, go see it again.
It's a long one.
It was also a long one. True. I have to remember where I went to the bathroom in the middle of it before and, like, pick a different spot this time.
There you go. Seriously. That's the thing. It was like, I know he wanted to see it in theater, but, like, I could not have made it through that movie. I probably was in the bathroom, like, multiple times. But, I mean, I feel like it needed to be long for them to, like, kind of wrap up everything.
I kind of wish I had watched the, like, one most previous, because it definitely is so connected. And really, that one, I think I, like, didn't see in theaters and probably have only watched once on an airplane. So I was like, maybe I should have watched that again.
I feel like, for me, Daniel Craig Bonds have been kind of hit or miss. Like, I feel like Casino Royale, great. Quantum of Solace, did not understand anything that was happening.
Yeah, of all of his, Casino Royale is definitely my all-time fave. It's so good.
And I thought,
it's just,
you know,
everything you want a Bond film to be. Yeah.
Yeah. And, like, Skyfall was good, and then I guess the last one was Spectre, was like, Spectre. And then this one I thought was good. So, it's been up and down.
But I think it's been a good Bond. Yeah. This one, I feel like, ended the era, the Daniel Craig era, with, like, a neat bow. And it was good. It was good.
Yeah. And I feel like they had
It needed to be long. And even though it was long, it never felt like it was dragging. Yeah.
No, I don't feel like anything that was in it was really, like, didn't need to be there. Like, sometimes they just pad movies with stuff. You're like, God, you could have shaved, like, 30 minutes off this. But I feel like everything that happened, it was like, okay, now this thing's happening. And now this, like, everything was, like, I think
it all made sense.
Pretty critical to the story they were trying to tell. And it always was, like, doing an, they're like, okay, now we're here, now we're here, now we're, so you never felt like you were in one scene or place for, like, too long, you know? Yeah. And I really enjoyed the Cuba part when they were in Cuba with, Ama de Ama. How do you say her name? Like, from Knives Out. And, she was fun. I liked her character a lot. And they were just like,
I wanted more of her character. Hi. I thought she was fun.
It was like, hi and bye. Like, it was just like, hi, nice to meet you. And then, bye. Talk to you later. But anyways, yeah. So I would say, like, I would recommend both movies. I mean, Tim's, like, a huge Bond fan, so we were going to watch it no matter what, but...
Yeah, for sure.
But we'll see who the next Bond is, you know? It'll be interesting.
Yeah, I don't know what direction they're gonna take it.
I was telling Tim last night, I think it'd be fun if they did, like, a more of a period piece. Like, let's just take it back to the 60s or whatever, and, like, you know? Or, like, he was saying it'd be fun to, like... Instead of trying to have this, like, you know, oh, this person has to have, like, three or four movies, or maybe they can do multiple movies, but it'd have to be this, like, connected storyline. Like, he's like, maybe, like, Tarantino, you want to do a Bond movie? Or, like, just give, like, directors who have, like, certain styles, like the guy who did, like, Kingsman, you know, maybe let him do a Bond movie.
That would be good.
So it's like, because I feel like I like Daniel Craig as Bond, but it's definitely been more serious than, like, I feel like... A lot of the past Bonds, like, it doesn't have to be serious.
Yeah, I mean, if you compare him to a Pierce Brosnan Bond, those ones are, like... Yeah. Those ones are almost comedies, like...
Yeah. And I mean, compared. You go back to, like, obviously your Sean Connerys and stuff. It's a lot more, like, not as serious. They're a little more...
Yeah.
I wouldn't necessarily say campy, but it's, like, you know, they're more fun anyways.
Yeah, they're just a little more, it's more about, like, the suave and debonairness versus, like, this is going to be an action movie.
Totally. I was glad, though, they put him in a tux at some point. I was like, we got to see him in a tux at least once. Come on.
Yeah.
He still looks good in a tux.
For sure. But it's, like, I mean, he's been Bond for so long.
I know.
It's crazy.
It is crazy. But anyways, so yeah, nothing exciting here. No trips. I'm jealous of all your little trips. That sounds fun.
But soon we'll be going on a trip back to the East Coast.
That's true.
For the holidays. So, you know, we might actually be able to record in the same room.
I know.
Not even just on the same continent.
I think I had to figure out what I'm going to do about the mic situation. But anyways,
Okay, we'll be in separate rooms, but...
We'll be in separate rooms. No, I just mean, like, bringing it. That was more what I meant.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe we'll do some stuff on our Instagram. So go follow us on at My Favorite Sister Pod on Instagram, and we'll do some, like...
Should we record, make, like, a TikTok since you love TikTok?
We should try to make a TikTok, I feel like. We should try to at least do one. It's hard. Being an influencer is hard.
Yeah.
But I feel like we could do some Instagram, like, stories or something, or, like, whatever.
Yeah, that'd be funny.
But let's get to the real meat of today's podcast. We're kicking off Christmas, the Christmas season, with, you know, last year, if you never listened to them, or maybe you're scrolling through Netflix, you're watching some of the older Christmas movies. They're really hyping, like, the Christmas Prince on Netflix. Like, if you go on, that's, like, the highlight. I was like, why is this being highlighted?
Oh, really?
This movie's from, like, 5 years ago.
Weird.
But, anyways, if you missed them last year, go back. We got a whole series of them last year. So, just like last year, we're doing a whole series this year. And so, for the next couple weeks, we'll be doing all Christmas movies. And then we're going to lead up to the big season 2 of Emily in Paris. So, just giving you a little insight into what's coming. We have a plan for once. Doesn't always happen, but we have a plan for once.
Yep.
So, as we teased on last week's episode, this week we'll be talking about our first two Christmas movies. I would do a drum roll if I knew how to drum roll it, but are Love Hard and Father Christmas is Back. And that's just because those were the first two released on Netflix.
On Netflix.
The timing worked out in that
perfectly.
Way.
Perfectly.
So I think we'll just probably go in chronological order, like, of release.
Yep.
And we'll start with, I think, one of the most anticipated movies of the year for us.
I mean,
anyways.
For us, for sure.
For us.
Is for us. And probably every other fan of Heather McMahon.
Yes.
Just because we like to see our girl succeeding.
I know.
We want to be out there thriving, you know.
It's like, I want her to succeed, but I also am like, I worry if she becomes like a big star, then it's not going to be the same. But I do want her to succeed. But the first movie we're talking about is Love Hard, which, as of now, is, like, the number one movie on Netflix, but, you know.
Yeah, it was number one last week in the UK. I think it's number two this weekend now because Young Sheldon is number one for some reason.
Okay,
that's not even on Netflix here. They must have, like, just released it or something, but it's still up there. It's still up there.
Yeah, so it might not be in the top by the time this drops, but, you know, you can search for it.
Yeah, it's hanging in there.
Yeah, so we will be talking spoilers for all these movies. I mean, I don't know if we'll get, like, deep into the plot, but there will be spoilers. Not that you can really spoil a Christmas movie. I feel like I've said this before, but, like, we all know how they're going to end, right? Like, there's not a lot of mystery there.
Right, exactly.
Christmas movie game.
We know that it's going to end with a nice little saccharine bow. You know, perfect.
Yeah. All right, so let's get into it. Love Hard. Love Hard. Let's see. Well, so Tim is watching these with me. I feel like, I don't know if Jack has been watching these with you, but I feel like you should get him to watch with you.
He did watch these with me.
Okay, okay,
he doesn't really make so much commentary. I feel like he also is, like, on his phone and, like, not really watching, but he did watch both of these with me, kind of.
Well, I feel like the problem is when he's watching with me, he will pause it, and I'll be like, we're never going to make it through these movies if we keep pausing them to, like, talk about them. At some point, we have to stop pausing. But anyways, we started, the second we started the movie with, like, the intro font, he said, is this, like, Die Hard? Because he said, that's the Die Hard font. Which, I wouldn't know that. So that's an interesting comment, because in the end, it kind of was, like, Die Hard.
Yes.
I mean,
I wouldn't have known that either, but then, you know, they have a scene where it's, like, she talks about her favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard.
Yeah.
And then at the end of the movie, because Jack was just like, what kind of name is this? And he was like, oh, is the name supposed to be, like, Die Hard? Like, we're at the end of the movie, and I was like, oh, my God, it's supposed to be, like, Love Actually and Die Hard smooshed together. It's Love Hard.
Oh, see, that makes a lot. Yeah, that's
doesn't
good.
It?
I did not pick up on that.
Light bulb
smart.
Moment. Because
so I feel like everyone got the Die Hard reference, but nobody was like, the two things together.
Because, like, you know, you have Nina Dobrev, and her character's favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard. And then you have Jimmy Yang, and his character's favorite movie, Christmas movie, is Love Actually. And then it's a whole back and forth about how, you know, between the two of them. So it makes no sense. If you smoosh them together, it's Love Hard. And I just felt like a genius for realizing that after
watching
the movie.
That's pretty smart, honestly.
I was like, how did I not put this together, like, right away after we were talking about Die Hard?
See, now
I also think of
the two fonts, like, if they did, like...
Oh, yeah, I would have never... Yeah,
Love
separated
Hard,
it.
But I don't know. I have to do a comparison after this, but that would have been smart if they did like the Love and the Love Actually font and the Heart and the Die Hard font and smushed them together.
Yeah, then it would have been, I think, more, I mean, I'm assuming that that is correct.
I feel like that's correct. That seems like
So if they'd done the thing with the fonts, then that would definitely have confirmed it, solidified it. But,
That's already a very smart musing.
Thank you. But to roll it back a little bit, we'll give a little, like, 1 minute recap. Basically, we have Nina Dobrev's character, who's, like, unlucky in love, and she has an online writing career for some online, I don't know, media corporation, where she writes about her terrible, like, Tinder dates. But it's on fake Tinder. It's called Flirt Alert, which I thought Flirt was Alert. one of the better fake Tinder names for movies. Because they always have to come up with a fake dating site. I was like, Flirt Alert? That's pretty good.
I feel like I don't understand why they couldn't have gotten, like, Bumble or, like, Tinder to sponsor this movie.
I don't know.
If Pizza Hut can sponsor whatever that movie was called that we were watching, I feel like a movie that's, like, about meeting someone on a dating site, why can't Bumble or whatever sponsor this? At least it makes sense.
I mean, you probably appreciated one of the early scenes with our girl Heather was the two of them in their in their shared workspace. And she's talking about these terrible dates, and Heather McMahon's character's like, you only have your radius set to 5 miles. You have to get out of West Hollywood.
Oh, my God. First of all, when she said that, I was like, okay, well, let's just start, because they show her in this, like, at first I thought it was a house, and I was like, how is she living in this house in Los Angeles? But it was an apartment, so I think it's fine. But I was like, no, that's unrealistic. And then when she said, hey, West Hollywood, I was like, oh, girl, you're not meeting the guys you think you're meeting in West Hollywood. Like,
I mean, I don't even live in L.A., and even I know that, like, West Hollywood, I told Jack, I was like, yeah, West Hollywood is the, in Manchester, it'd be gay village. And he was like, oh, okay.
I mean, it's, you know, obviously I don't want to generalize and say that everyone lives in West Hollywood is gay.
No.
But it is, like, kind of in L.A., that's. It's WeHo, you know, it's where the center of, I'd say, gay culture is in Los Angeles, anyways.
Exactly.
I've had friends that have lived there, like couples, and it's fun because there's lots of restaurants, places to go, so I get it. But, girl, your five-mile radius is West Los Angeles.
It's doing you a disservice here.
But, to be fair, also, like, in L.A., you don't want to drive more than 5 miles to have to go, like, on a date with someone. That sounds exhausting. So I don't blame her, honestly, because it's, like, a long-distance relationship otherwise.
It was just funny to me, because I was like, I don't even live in L.A. I was like, and I already know Elizabeth will be like, oh, West Hollywood, this is not the correct radius.
Yeah, no, definitely not. Oh, so I liked when they were, like, showing her, like, dating history, and so, yeah, she goes on these disastrous dates, so she writes a column about them, and whatever. And I was just like, first of all, how is this Nina Dobrev having trouble finding someone? She's, like, gorgeous. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure. But they have a scene where she goes and talks to a guy, or she's, like, on a date with a guy in, like, some random log cabin. I was like, where is this log cabin? Where are you?
I was wondering that, too. I was like, did she go with him for, like, a date, like, away somewhere? Like, where are they?
You don't know him? Like, I hope this was date 3 or 4 or something.
Yeah, my third comment is, like, her date outfits are super cute, though, and then towards the end, one of my notes was, like, where's the montage? This movie was missing a montage, but actually, we got a montage, we kind of got that montage in the beginning, where it was, like, her going on all the dates.
Yeah.
But I just felt like, you know, when you have a classic movie like this, like, we never got a montage of her and Jimmy's character.
Yeah.
Whose actual character name, I can't remember. I can't remember any of the character names, so I'm just going to refer to all the actors as their actual names. We never got, like, a montage of them, like, you know, like, how are they gotta go from, like, enemies to lovers in this movie, and it's just, they didn't do anything to make it happen.
No.
There was no montage. Not. Like, where she's trying to, like, dress him up, or, like, you know, get him a new style, or nothing. gotta have a corny montage.
Yeah. So, and then I wrote, when Heather got introduced, Heather! And all caps.
Yeah, so honestly, Heather was the best part of the whole movie, and she needed more scenes, more dialogue.
I mean, there was, like, a couple scenes where, like, I feel like it was, like, the scene where she's like, oh, my sponsor's calling. Like, it was kind of a weird, like, thing, but, like, I mean, I was like, she didn't write it. She just delivered.
Yeah, she's just delivering it.
You know, she's just delivering it. But, yeah, and then at the end, Tim pointed out that she didn't get any sort of, like, end scene, like, wrap-up scene or anything. It was just kind of like, she's gone now, and I'm like, but
I found that the best so friend. Odd. Yeah, I found that so odd.
But yeah.
So basically, Heather McMahon's character she puts Nina Dobrev's character's radius to the whole United States.
Yeah.
And which so is then dumb, she, but... yeah, I know, which is dumb, but, so then she matches with, you know, someone who, you know, recently was a teenager in high school, so I don't know how, well, yeah. And also in California, so I don't know now how he's, like, a grown adult living in, New York somewhere, or wherever they go.
I mean, he was a swimmer, he was dating Davey from Never Have I Ever. I know, even if I didn't know the plot of this movie just from the trailer, like, I would have been like, that's not him, because the voice, like, right. Because the whole, so, yeah, it's the, I think his name's Darren Barnett, right? And yeah. He is the, one of the Paxton Hall Yoshido, right? Is that his name? That sounds right.
I think
something
so.
Something like that. From Never Have I Ever, a show we've talked about on this podcast. Yeah.
So he's a grown-ass adult playing a teen in one show, and now he's actually getting to play an adult in a movie, and it was just very discombobulating to me. I was like, I can't handle it.
So yeah, she like, whatever with this guy and their first conversation, because he has a picture in his bio, like, basically like the Love Actually, like, sign or whatever, that says, like, Love Actually is my favorite Christmas movie or something like that. Like, thumbs up or thumbs down. So she messaged him, and she's like, no, Love Actually is, like, the worst Christmas movie. And he's like, okay, what's the best one? Die Hard. But anyways, they start talking, but they do, like, a voiceover for him, and it's clearly not his voice. Well, maybe you would think it is, but for us, I was like,
That's not him.
That's not him.
But then they spend, like, a whole, I guess then we kind of get another montage of where there's, like, a whole month of them or so, like, texting and, like, calling on the phone, which I was like, what millennials are calling and talking to each other? But I was like, well, I guess in theory she's in California and he's on the East Coast, so I guess that's why they're doing this as calls, but I was just like, this is also unrealistic.
But also, they never FaceTimed. I mean, obviously they didn't for a reason, but...
True.
But
I feel like they definitely would have before they did long-term calls. So then at least Heather McMahon's character is like, girl, you gotta make him send you a selfie with, like, today's newspaper. How do you know you're not getting catfish? So they do a thing, and it ends up, like, you know, he sends a photo, and it, like, is holding a sign, and, like, has something written on it, like, it's, like, her name and stuff.
Yeah.
And so they're like, oh my god, he's legit. And then it gets crazy.
Yeah, well, I feel like they clearly... Sometimes I get annoyed in these movies when they clearly telegraph something, because they mention the kiwis, how she's allergic to kiwis about 100 times.
So many times, yep.
And I was like, I wonder if that's going to come up later. Like, so and then true. I think her boss, I wrote down this line, and I feel like her boss must have said it, because it says, like, everyone's miserable, though, which made me laugh.
Yep.
And I was like,
that was the boss line.
That's true. But then when they're talking, and they're, like, having their little, like, whatever conversations, and she's like, walking around her house, and then she's like, I hate going out. I only like eating in. I was like, stop. I never want to eat in again. I just want to eat out all the time. But anyway, so he makes some, like, comments, like, oh, I wish you were here for Christmas. Is that crazy or whatever? And she takes that as an invitation. Like, there's just so many bad decisions in this movie.
Yeah, and this is where I feel like, you know, they had the setup. I was like, okay, I'm in for the setup. And then this is how they, like, propel the story forward. But this is where it all then started to get a little too loosey-goosey for me. But also, like, so yeah, she just surprised... I was like, wait, she's surprising him? But, like, how does she know his address?
That's a good question.
So she turns up to, like, where the town where he lives, like, Lake Placid or whatever... And also, I was like, you know, this is set in L.A. I was like, why did they film in Canada? Like, I was like, what were they filming in Canada? Like,
yeah.
But I think it's all filmed in Canada. They just have, like, one or two exterior shots in L.A. But, yeah, so she just shows up. It's, like, this tiny Lake Placid airport or whatever. And she's like, oh, the Uber driver / Lyft driver, because they're the same guy, you know, take me to this address. And he's like, oh, that's the, you know, whatever family house. And I'm like, how did she know his address?
I kind of wonder why they didn't set this movie in, like, Denver or something like that. Because I feel like they were really into, like, rock climbing and it was, like, really outdoorsy. I was like, is Lake Placid, New York, known for, like, outdoorsiness? I don't know.
I also just kept thinking, like, she's very lucky that the family owns the outdoor store, because the whole plotline of her not having any luggage. And I was like, well, it's lucky because she got clothes from them, I guess. Which also, now that I'm thinking about it, doesn't Paxton's dad in the... Never have I ever owned, like, a sporting goods store. Oh, yeah,
I think he might. I think he might. He just can't get away.
They're the same.
But I guess Paxton's family doesn't necessarily own the store in this one, but it's weird that there's apparently a lot...
So all many Asian, parallels.
Apparently all Asian families are owning, like, outdoor stores for some reason.
They just own their own versions of Dick's Sporting Goods, I guess.
Yeah. So she shows up, which is dumb. She's never FaceTimed with this guy, and then she just shows up on his door. Like, it's like, first of all, that's just a crazy move, okay? Like,
yeah,
it's one thing so if you're, like, in a legitimate relationship and you surprise them, but, like, you've never met this person before.
Yep.
So, like, she shows up at this house wearing a stupid outfit because I'm like...
Literally, she knew she was going to New York, so why was she not at least wearing, like, thick tights? She's wearing, like, a short dress with not even a real jacket and, like, not proper shoes. I was like, just wear jeans. Like,
I'd have to say that, like, I've bought far too many sweaters for the climate that I'm currently living in, so I'd be ready for... I've bought jackets, I've bought sweaters, I have the perfect jacket for the Heather McMahon show, I'll say that right now, since we're talking about her. But I feel like I'd be ready to go to Lake Placid, New York, but she was not ready. So she shows up at the house.
Unprepared.
And... then she, like, the guy's family's there, and then the guy walks in, and...
And lo and behold, shocker, it's not... What's his face?
It's not Paxton.
It's not Paxton. It's Jimmy Yang.
It's Jimmy Yang. And she's like, what?
She's like, how could you have catfished me? I made you... Like, you sent me a picture right away. Like, I checked everything. And then, you know, the age-old tale as old as time, they enter into a bargain. Oh, she runs off to, like, the town bar.
Yeah.
She's, like, drinking. She sees, you know, Paxton there and is, like, real Paxton. And realizes that he is a guy that actually exists. So she's like, oh, he's so hot. Like, he's my perfect match. So she enters into a, you know, a classic, like, deal, trade with, Josh, that's his character name.
Yeah.
Jimmy Yang plays Josh, where he's like, I'll tell you everything about Tag, right? Or whatever
Darren something like that. Character's name. Some dumb. Stupid name.
I'll tell you all about him and, like, you know, help you, like, you know, get together with him if you pretend to be my girlfriend, like, to my family, like, through the holidays.
Yeah.
And it just escalates from there. But it's like, I mean, we all knew it was going to be, like, obviously, even from the trailers, that it was going to be this kind of, like, weird deal slash weird Cyrano situation. But it just was weird. I don't know. It just didn't work.
Well, let's talk about the bar really quick, because she then has the craziest allergic reaction to, you guessed it, kiwis.
Kiwi.
But, by the way, what bartender is making drinks shots with kiwi in them? Like, literally. Come on. Could you have given, like, a more ridiculous ingredient for them to be like, we're having kiwi shots now. Like, what? No.
Yeah, just been like, I'm allergic to lemon. Like,
but also, nobody has an allergic reaction like she had. Like, that's insane.
No.
But that's just a side tangent. I was like, what? No. Okay. But yeah.
So enter
this
into
movie
the...
has questionable message for people. Because it's like, okay, on the one hand, it's like, you've been catfished, which is not great. But then, like... Spoiler alert, they have her in the end, like, fall, like, decide, that's fine. I'm just, like, she ends up with her catfisher.
I mean, I guess...
But then she also catfishes Paxton's character,
I guess the reason that she doesn't leave is because she's, like, has to write an article for work. But, like, they really don't focus on that enough for it to, like, be enough of a pressure. I'm like, she also could have written an article about her going across the country and then
and ending up being catfished.
So you don't have, like, that type of, like, pressure to, like, stay. So there's really nothing, no reason she couldn't have just turned around and gone on to the next flight.
But I guess, like, the other reason she was, like, quote-unquote, gonna stay was because of Paxton.
But it's just, like...
She's, like... But then it was clear, like, he knows nothing real about you, and he clearly is not anyone you actually are gonna be interested in. Like...
Yeah, and also when, you know, she, like, was at the bar and he walked in, and I was like, you could have just... He doesn't know who you are. You could have just walked up to him. Like, she didn't need to do, like, the weird trying karaoke thing. I'm like, she could have just, like, introduced herself at the bar. So, it still didn't make sense because I was like, she's like, oh, I've got to meet, like, you know, I've got to meet him and make him, like, you know, fall for me or whatever and get him to go out with me. But I'm like, but why?
But also, I feel like they made her character too, like, awkward, you know what I mean? They did that thing where they're like, oh, we gotta take this really hot girl and, like, make her socially awkward so,
I'm like, she's like other help. Girls.
She needs help talking to, like, a hot guy. I'm like, you guys are equal level hotness. I think you're fine.
So things just, like, escalate where it's, like, you know, there's, like, the awkward Christmas caroling scene where his family is going around and they're at, like, the old folks' home and they are caroling. And the brother, played by, what's-his-face from Glee?
Harry Chum, is that right? Is that his name?
I think his name. Yeah, Harry something. I don't know his last name. But... you know, is always, he's, like, the athletic and, like, always, you know, the best of the two brothers and makes Josh's character, like, feel bad about himself. So they're just trying to constantly, like, one-up each other. So his character announces that him and his wife are, like, having a baby. And so then Josh's character is like, oh, no. And he proposes to Nina Dobrev's character. And it's just like, no. This is too far.
I did like the reimagining of the baby. It's cold outside. That was fun.
That was good. And then they're trying to, like, you know, be fake engaged, but then hide it from the tag character. And, you know, it's just, like, chaos ensues. I don't know. I just felt like the longer the movie went on, it got a little messy. Where it's like, you know, sometimes characters make bad choices, but it, like, logically makes sense for that character. But, I don't know, for these characters, I was just like, she could have just left.
I just feel like she was trying really hard to make this thing with the Paxton, whatever, tag character work, but it's like, you guys clearly aren't a match. Like, what are you going to do for the rest of your life? Yeah. Have to go maybe on mountain hikes?
Right, and, like, be in New York, and it's like, maybe it's just that they were supposed to, in the beginning, like, have set up her character to be, like, so desperate to find love and all this stuff, and I'm just like, but why?
Are you desperate enough to have to go rock climbing for the rest climbing of your all life? The
time? Yeah, for real. That's very true. I did kind of at the end realize that, you know, the other trope in this movie is that there's always, of the two main characters, it's always one character who has no family and is, like,
totally,
you know, not an orphan, but, like, an adult orphan. And then they, like, you know, are put into the situation where they end up falling in love for the character that has, like, so much family and, like, almost too much family togetherness. And
I was thinking that too.
It's like, because it's their newfound family.
I was thinking that too, because I was wondering when they're like, oh, you just have to be here till Christmas. I was like, doesn't she have somewhere that she's supposed to be going for Christmas? Like, no? Okay. Well, I guess not.
Well, yeah, because then they talk about how her, like, they have the scene with, like, her mom and stuff. Like,
does she have
her mom?
Is her dad around? Like, I mean, they just are like, no, she has no family and no one she's spending Christmas with, I guess.
Which, speaking of the family, I mean, the grandma was great. I loved the
grandma. Oh, the family was great.
And then the dad was good, too. Was he the grandpa in Dash and Lily?
He might have been the grandpa. I mean, I feel like
he's one of those actors that did tons of stuff. Yeah. But I just was trying to think. I was like, I feel like he was in something Christmassy that we watched last year.
He might have been. I'm going to look it up. He's in Always Be My Maybe. He plays the dad of...
Yep.
What's his name? I can't think of anyone's name. but yeah. He was great. Even the mom, I thought, the stepmom was great. I did like that they made Jimmy Yang's character a candle maker.
I know, that was cute. And that was fun. See, my thing, I was like, because of course, you know, it's always a long distance thing and it's like, who's going to move? And I was telling Jack, I was like, obviously his character would move. I was like, bitches in LA love candles.
Exactly. I'm like, clearly he's going to move to LA. Like, LA is a candle market. Like,
and Jack was like, really? I was like, yeah, have you met my sister? She's got so many candles.
And we do have a lot of candles. But to be fair, that's coming from Tim, really, not from me. He's really into the candles.
I did say that I was like, well, when I was, that one time we were there and we went to that, like, maker craft fair thing, and I was like, the only thing we bought was a candle, because they smelled really good. But I was talking because Jack was like, is there really that much market for candles? I was like, oh, because, you know, it's like, instead of, like, doing male scents, and I was like, tons. I was like, there's tons of market, and it's all in Los Angeles, so he would definitely want to move.
Actually, there's this company that Tim was showing me called, like, Boy Smells, that did a collab with Casey Musgraves, but it's dumb because they're trying to be, like, gender neutral, but I was like, but you've named your company Boy Smell, so I don't understand the concept. But when he was explaining that in the movie about, like, there's kind of like a market that's not tapped for men, I was like, yeah, I feel like there really is, because I feel like the men's one, they always try to make them, like,
weird.
I'm like, I don't need everything to be sandalwood, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. I think men like other smells.
True. There's a candle company that I like. It's called Evil Queen, and she always comes up with, like, cool... I mean, I think she just did, like, the Christmas release and stuff, but, like, the haul one, you know, it's always, like, the names, it's, like, batshit crazy, and then the scents, it has the scents, but then she, like, tells them in, like, funny ways, so I feel like they're a bit more gender neutral, you know, it's, like, basic witch, like, as, like, the witchy candle and stuff, and, like, you know, different snowy ones. I'm, like, I want to try them, but I can't get them here, but...
But I feel like it was a good business idea from him. I was like, I like the idea. I think that would sell well here in Los Angeles. Yeah. I was thinking that too.
But I guess the real question is, you know, at the end, did you want them to end up together?
I mean, that's like so hard because it's like, then you're just like, be like, yeah, it's cool to catfish someone. You might end up with them. And it's like, is it though? It's not really. Like,
yeah. I think in my opinion, it was just like, there was almost no... I don't know. It was like they showed, obviously they had all the time early in the movie where they were like talking and getting to know each other. But then I felt after that, they never really were like learning about each other or like, I don't know. She just went from being like, no, I'm going to try and pursue Tag to all of a sudden being like, actually, I love Jimmy. Like,
yeah.
And I was like, maybe they should just be friends. Like, I was like, I feel like, can we just get like a friendship movie out of this? I was like, I feel like that makes much more sense. There just was, like, no build-up or, like, tension. And, you know, when you have the, like, oh, if we're gonna, let's make a bargain and I'll help you get, some like, someone to love you, usually it's kind of the other way where it's, like, you know, the Cyrano character is in the ear of character B to try and get character C, but really the Cyrano isn't in love with character B, they're in love with character C.
Yeah,
so it's
like,
that's how the triangle usually works. And so I felt like in this dynamic, it just, I don't know, it didn't work for me. There wasn't enough, like, relationship character development. I see, we needed a montage where they, like, went around town and, like, went to bars or did activities and, like, spend time together. Because I felt like they didn't really spend any time together to, like, build any sort of believable relationship foundation. So, yeah. I feel like the tee up for the premise was good, but then the later execution lost me.
I think what needed to happen. Okay, I've got a repitch, as I love to do on this podcast. Yes. Repitch the idea. Okay, so let's say Paxton Hall Yoshido or whatever the guy, he puts his dating profile up, but like he's not good at talking to girls or whatever, like for whatever reason, even though he's hot. And so then like the Jimmy Yang character has kind of been like helping him with his text or whatever. Maybe there's never any conversation on the phone. So then she flies out to meet Paxton Hall Yoshido and, or Yoshida, I think. And then it's clear that, like, and then she finds out what actually has been happening.
That it was Jimmy all along.
Yes.
Yes.
So then,
much
like,
better.
The emotional connection that she has formed because of, like, the text conversations has really been with Jimmy, but, like, she thinks it's been with Paxton.
Yes.
So then she tries to date Paxton, but then maybe, like, Jimmy's, like, the brother of Paxton or, like, something, but she ends up spending a lot of time with him and realizes that, like... And then it's, like, less... I feel like it's, like, less about catfishing because it's, like, he was just trying to help his brother, like, talk to a girl and then he got carried away or whatever. Or, like, maybe it wasn't even, like, having full-on conversations. Maybe they just, like, he was, like, getting advice and then...
Yeah, he was just giving advice and, like, helping, you know?
Yeah.
So it's just, like, the in-the-ear type thing.
Yeah.
That would be much better, I think, and much more believable than for their characters to, like, end up together in such a short time frame.
Because then it's, like, she gets there, and then it's, like, she's, like, this is weird because it's, like, not, like, our conversations have been, and...
Yeah, and then it's, like, if they're, like, brothers or something, because then if she's, like, staying at their house, then obviously she has time to, like, talk to Jimmy's character and all that. Ugh, much better. Let's pitch it.
I bet, let's do a rewrite, and somehow Heather needs to be in the movie more.
For sure.
I don't know how, but yeah, it's just like I liked everyone in it. Like, I'd say it's probably better than a lot of the Christmas movies we're gonna watch this year, just like story wise and execution wise.
It's like it wasn't bad. I'm just being like so critical of like, did it actually make you want the characters to like end up together? Yeah. And I'm like, nah,
we're good.
But I've definitely watched way worse, and you know, if I had some, like hot chocolate spiked with Bailey's, it'd be proper festive. So
I feel like we need to have a Heather McMahon led Christmas movie. She goes to Italy for Christmas.
There you go, there you go.
An Italian stallion. Done.
Sold. There's the bit early on in the movie where she talked about having to import, like, her husband Mark or whatever from Ohio. And I was like, I mean, that's kind of relatable because, yeah, I left the country because all the guys in D.C. was like, ugh. I was like, I don't want to date any more Deloitte consultants. No thanks.
Tim didn't like that line because he was like, nobody in L.A. is from L.A. You actually don't have to import anybody because it's like, there's actually probably a good place to meet someone from Ohio is, like, here or Ohio. Like,
just go search for the, like, Ohio State alumni
pretty tailgates. Much, yeah. but yeah, that's Love Hard. So, I don't know, would we recommend Love Hard?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was still, you know, a cute little watch if you need, like, a little afternoon movie, something to have on. But I don't, it's not like, you know, it's in the mid-level. We've definitely watched worse.
Sure, we've 100% watched worse. And it's just, like, it's tough because, it was cute. Like I said, like, I like everyone in it. I actually think it was pretty competently made. Like, the story wasn't terrible or anything. It was just, like, the message. It was just, like, I feel like they could have made some tweaks and it would have been, like...
Yeah, it was fine. But it wasn't, like, you know...
Yeah.
Awesome or anything. But it was fine.
It was fine. And it had Heather in it, so that... Heather made it better. And honestly, I think fans have helped propel it to the number one spot.
Probably.
She wasn't in enough, that's all I'll say.
Agreed.
All right, well, let's move on to movie number two, which...
What a... I mean,
Father Christmas
I don't know.
Is back, I guess, is what it's called.
I do understand the title of it now, after watching the whole movie, but, like, what was this movie?
What was this movie? Like, who was this made for? Why was it made? Like, what? Just... I'm bemused. Bemused.
This movie was such chaos energy.
It was exhausting to watch, to be perfectly honest.
It was so tiring. We actually paused it halfway through.
Oh, we paused it multiple times. We had to watch it through, like, a few hours because it was hard to watch.
Yeah, because the Formula One was on, and so Jack went to watch that, and then we finished it after. But I was just like, what even is this movie? It had such a cast that I was like, it could... be so good. And I mean Liz Hurley was fantastic. She always plays the same kind of character and she nails it and I love it and I'm here for it. You know, she always kind of plays that same British seductress type character, but this movie was chaotic and there was just I don't know, it like the writing, the cuts, so many. We were talking about Bond being a long movie but everything needed to be there.
This movie
was long, but also, like, had so many cuts, like, where they were just, like, jump scenes from one thing to the next. And I was like, I don't understand what's happening. I feel like they've edited out some sort of crucial element, and I cannot keep track of what is happening.
And I feel like the tone was all over the place. Like, sometimes they were trying to be, like, funny. Sometimes they were trying to be serious. It was like, what was the tone of this film?
It was
like,
really weird.
And at the end, Tim and I were talking about it and was like, there was, like, a nugget of, like, a good story in here that they could have done. Like, they could have had a, like, not as probably depressing, but, like, they could have had, like, a Family Stone type movie, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Where, like,
yes.
The family comes together, they don't always get along, but, like, they have this strange father character.
You got Elizabeth Hurley, Kelsey Grammer, John Cleese. Like, come on! Like, you know, get out of here. The girl that played Kelsey Grammer's girlfriend then slash fiance, she's also hilarious. She was in a Lifetime show called Drop Dead Diva that I loved. So it's like, I was just like, what is going on?
The only
on?
Character that I, well, maybe two. The only two characters I like liked during this movie were the guy, the husband of the main, like, sister that's hosting, whatever, the guy from Love Actually slash...
I was gonna say, the guy from Love Actually.
The guy from Love Actually, and he's also in that show Death in Paradise that Tim pointed out.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
But anyways, I thought he was really good. He gave it his all, even though...
Yeah.
And then I liked the Felix character, just because he was kind of, like, in it, and he was just like, I'm here, like...
Yeah, I would agree. Their two characters definitely were the best, and they, like, made the most sense in this type of movie.
Yeah.
And then I felt like the other characters were just, like, so out of, like, left field. I'm like, even, I was like, because this, I was like, finally, a British, like, set movie where they're all speaking with British accents because all actually British and it's actually set in England.
Let's talk about that, okay?
And then I was just like, but what is happening? Because there was the scene where they rock up, the Felix guy's like, whoa, this house must have cost you a pretty penny. And he's like, oh yeah, when my, like, ancestors bought it for 10 pounds in like feudal England. I'm sure it was a lot.
That was good.
And then we learned that it's set in Yorkshire. And Jack and I, Jack, who is from Yorkshire, were just like, what? We're like, none of them have proper accents to, like, fit this mold or whatever.
Well, but, I mean, honestly, none of Americans would know that.
Yeah, but the funniest bits to me were, like, all the bits about it being, like, an old, big house. And I'm like, yeah, because that's so, like, so true. Like, those, all I could think about was, like, the having to heat this house would be a disaster. And the scene where, like, the American girls takes a long shower, I was like, yeah, they're fucked now. I was like, they're all going to have cold water for the next, like, 12 hours.
Well, I feel like, okay, I feel like you knew this movie was going to be weird with the intro that it had, okay? Like, it starts with, like, all the characters doing this, like, weird close-up intro where they, like, turn to the camera and they show their face and they're like, yeah, it's like Elizabeth Hurley. And I was like, the camera's too close. We all need to back up from the camera. Like, okay, like, we're not as young as we used to be. Look, I'm not looking good at close-up on camera either. Let's see. So then I feel like they just, like, would introduce characters and you're like, who is this person? Like,
yeah.
Cause so the plot is, like, there's one really, like, type A sister who always hosts Christmas. And I guess, like, her whole thing is, like, their dad walked out on them on Christmas, like, 20-something years ago. And so she's always trying to make Christmas perfect. So then all the sisters arrive and none of them get along, apparently. None of these sisters get along. So they all show up and you've got, like, Liz Hurley and she's, like, a fashion editor and she's got a boyfriend that drives a Rolls Royce and she's all fancy and hates kids or whatever. And then you've got, like, the youngest sister who's this, like, free spirit and she comes out on a motorcycle and blah blah blah. And then you've got you've got the one sister who's, like, trying to write a thesis about the Beatles, like, and it's, like, so weird. And then like, okay, so they're all there, I feel like, and they show up and then they just introduce John Cleese's character and I was like, who is he? Like, they never said who he was until,
literally,
like,
till, like, the last 10% of the movie. I was like, is he the groundskeeper? Is he, like, who is this man?
I was like, is he the dad of, the husband guy?
The, like, husband? True. Because I was like, he did kind of live on the land. So I was like, how is he living in this cottage, like, on their estate? Which, I mean, I was, at the opening scene, I was like, holy shit. I was like, that is, like, a castle estate. I was like, it even has, like, a ruin in the front. I was like, it's got its own folly? Like, holy moly. I was like, where did they film this? Because that is huge.
But I guess I have a question. Do you feel like the energy level she was giving about being stressed out about Christmas, is that, like, I thought that was a purely American-style thing. Do British people have that, too? Where everyone's, like, insanely stressed about Christmas?
Yeah, some people are. Because Christmas... Right. So that's the thing. Having a British-set Christmas movie does make sense because they're very intense about Christmas here.
I know.
Because they don't have any buffer holidays. So everything's all about Christmas, especially post-COVID, because it's like, if you wanted to have, like, a Christmas meal, like, that's a big thing, is having, like, Christmas meals. They have Christmas menus. People are booking those in September.
Wow.
Like, okay. Like, August, September, fully booked. We're doing one for work, and it's just like, okay, well, the day is just random because it's like, we're going on December 1st. So.
All right. All right, well, anyways, but yeah, I was so confused. I was like, why couldn't someone have just been like, oh, hi, Uncle John. Like, great to see you. Like, that would have been helpful.
Yeah, they had the whole scene where they all were arriving, and it was just so awkward. They're all sitting in this, like, fancy, like, sitting room area drinking, and I was like, you know what's missing from this house? A television. I was like, in a real family house, as people are arriving, you'd be having drinks and snacks, and the TV would be on, because it gives you something to focus on, like.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just weird, because you're like, okay, who's this character? He just, like, walks in, and he lives on their land, and you're just like, alright, cool.
Yeah, it was so weird.
And it's clear that, like, him and the mom, like, the...
Have a thing
going on, but it's, like, secret, so you're like, okay, this is also weird, why?
Yeah, I was just like, why?
Okay, but then, so the whole, like, whatever thing that happens is that the youngest daughter had been in America and went to visit their estranged father in Florida, and I guess she, like, invites him to Christmas, but, like, doesn't tell anybody, and then he just shows up. So Kelsey Grammer shows up with his young girlfriend or whatever.
Yep. Which I did appreciate, at least, that they mentioned that her character is 35. So I was like, well, at least she's, like, an actual adult and not, like, 19.
I actually feel like they could have played her character to, like, be way more, like, annoying or whatever. But I was like, I liked her character. I feel like she was fine. Bad.
Yeah. So that's my thing. I feel like they, you know, because that's always the thing. It's like, oh, they're like, oh, no, this, like, American, and they think she's going to be, I mean, she obviously doesn't know some things, but they think she's going to be this, like, super young ditz. And I was like, well, she's, like, a 35 grown adult, so
yeah,
she's fine. Like,
well, okay, because they never explained who John Cleese's character was, like, at first, Tim and I were like, okay, so is he, like, an American that, like, met the mom and then had these kids and went back to America? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Because you're like, but then they reference it. So he shows up with his Kelsey Grammer accent, not like, he does not attempt any sort of accent. It's just his normal Kelsey Grammer, mid-Atlantic, whatever. Voice, and then they specifically reference one of, they're like, did you hear his accent? Like,
yeah. They're like, you've been in Florida for so long, you've lost your accent. And I'm like, well, he is technically American, so that's fine.
Yeah. I mean, but it's just funny, because so they're trying to claim that Kelsey Grammer is British, and he's just lost his British accent, and he has a full-on American accent, a mid-Atlantic American accent now. And
well, you know, after all those years on the radio, he just had Kelsey, to drop the accent.
Yeah, Kelsey Grammer just didn't want to have to do any sort of, like, fake British accent, which just is funny to me. But then we get into, like, the weird things. Okay, so, like, he shows up, everyone's like, oh my god, he's here, and then, like, he's sitting there, and then they do these, like, the sisters, like, point their head out to, like, look at him, and there's, like, all these weird sound effects, and it's, like from a Looney Tunes cartoon. Like, so they just, like, mix those in, like, at different points in the movie. Tim was on the floor, like, laughing when that happened. He's like, what has just happened? And so anyways, yeah, then it's just, like, I don't even know what happens after that, because it's just, like, it's just he's there. Crazy. And
it's just, and the, it's just, like, they have all these, like, town events and all the stuff that they have to do for Christmas, and it's just chaotic, and I was just, like, I don't, it's too much. I was, like, there's too much happening. I mean, I did think it was very funny, though. They had, like, a Christmas Eve lunch, so it wasn't even, like, a Christmas, I think it was Christmas Eve. It wasn't even Christmas Day lunch. And they're sitting at this humongous table. They're all, like, 3 feet apart from each other. Yeah, it was really... But they were all dressed so fancy. It was like you know, the meme of Kris Jenner, like, where she's, like, dressed in, like, the, with, like, the white fur thing, and then she, like, goes to sit on the couch. I was like, they were all dressed like that. Like...
yeah, well...
It was so funny.
Well, they did go to a Christmas fair, which looked fun, and then I think the best part about Christmas Eve was when they went to the pub and they drank. Oh, yeah. I was like, this looks like...
I was like, that part... I was like, that part makes more sense, because it's like, that's how the family's, like, they're just healing their wounds in the most British way possible down at the pub. Yeah. Well, that's very realistic, because, so, you know, you're talking about people being stressed at Christmas. Well, every time we go to Jack's parents for Christmas, like, every other year, the main thing is, like, they're like, okay, we'll see you, like, tomorrow, bye, and it's, like, on, like, Christmas Eve, because everyone just does whatever they want with, like, other people, not with their, it's, like, expected that you're gonna, like, go out with your friends and, like, not be at home. So, like, we would, like, go out with his friends for drinks. And I was like, none of your families... Can you imagine families?
Doing
I,
that? Yeah,
like, it's, like, 10 p.m. on Christmas Eve. I was like, none of your families... And we had gone out with them the night before, too. So I was like, what are your families doing? And they're like, oh, our parents are all out, like, at their friends' houses.
That sounds amazing.
Why don't I was like, they don't expect you... They don't expect you to, like, be home for, like, you know, any Christmas Eve things. And they're like, no, it's tradition. Everyone goes to the pub or, like, to the, you know, bars or whatever. So it's wild to me. It's wild.
I mean, I think that was always my issue with, like, Thanksgiving, like, especially when I got into, like, drinking college age and, like, was home to see friends, is, like, you have to, like, spend, you're there for the entire day and you're not allowed to, like, leave and see people, you know what I mean? So that's why I feel like the night before Thanksgiving has become, like, its own American holiday where you get drunk with your high school friends, but anyways.
That's very true.
So that looked fun, but I did love, because they were really trying to convince you that Kelsey Grammer was British, is that they tried to, like, sprinkle in English phrases, I feel like, and make him say them, but, like, it doesn't work because he does not have a British accent and he's not British, and I feel like the cadence of them is off, like, I feel like he tried to say, like, Sodom or something like that, or, like, there was a couple of them that I was like, this doesn't work.
This doesn't, like, sound right. Yeah, I mean, there's some things that, like, I mean, I definitely say some more British-sounding things, but then there's other ones where I'm just like, I can't, like, to say cheers instead of thank you. That's not really a Southern thing that they do here, but it's a Northern thing, and Jack does it. But it's like, to me, I'm like, I try, and it just, like, does not roll off the tongue. I'm just like, thank you, bye. Yeah. I can't be like, cheers. Like, I don't know, it just sounds weird. I'm like, where's the drinks? So there's a few things where it's like, if I try and say them, it's like the British phrase, it just doesn't sound right.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, if I say garage instead of garage, I'm like, it just doesn't sound right. So I just say garage.
It's... Yeah. But yeah,
down so at that the just... car park. That's fine. Yeah. Like, no, it's the parking lot. That's fine.
I just feel like the movie just, like, devolves into this weird, like... Then there's this whole, like, pregnancy subplot that was the whole thing.
It's that was
like...
literally one of my final notes towards the end. I was like, a pregnancy test. Another storyline? Is this a club being promoted by Stefan from SNL? This year's hottest Christmas movie is Father Christmas is Back. It's got pubs, vegans, village fairs, people from Florida, toilet paper decorations, and random pregnancy tests.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's just like...
Because I was just like, what? I was like, this movie already has so much going on that's like just so many threads, and they're just throwing in like a... like the main husband character finding, you know, a positive pregnancy test in the trash. I was like, we have 15 minutes left in this movie. How are they going to resolve this?
Well, I just love how, okay, so, like, the husband gets mad, and he, like, leaves, and then, like, the Kelsey Grammer character's, like, in front of everyone is, like, okay, we're gonna go find him. So they find him and bring him to this, like, nativity play that's happening, yeah. And the husband's, like, your dad came and found me, and she's, like, all surprised and shocked. I was, like, he literally just said that's what he was gonna do, like, 5 minutes ago. Like, why are you shocked by this?
So true.
That was the whole plan. So we all agreed upon it.
Yeah, so I just... Yeah, I just couldn't, after that pregnancy test thing, I just couldn't take it seriously because I was laughing too hard of, like, thinking of Stefan on SNL doing, like, talking about this movie as if it's a club. Like,
and then they have the whole subplot with, like, the sister that's, like, writing the thesis, like, they're at the pub and she, like, tells them she's gay, but then she tells them that every year, apparently, and then, like, they have this girl that she's, like, giving eyes with. And then, like, later, the girl's just, like, at the Christmas dinner with them. I was like, isn't she want to be with her family? She's clearly from this town. Like, right. I don't...
Or the whole thing of how she's been, like, writing... She's, you know, anything but thesis. So she's been writing her thesis for 10 years. And I was like, but what does she do for money? I was like, so they must be wealthy because just each have, like, trust funds or whatever. Because I'm like, otherwise you'd have to have... Like, you can't be a teacher unless you have your thesis done. Like...
Yeah, it's just... The whole thing, I was just like, what is this movie? Why did anyone agree to be in it? Like, it just does not have a clear...
Yeah, like, that's again, like, so, I feel like... I'm so convinced there had to have been more scenes and they cut them and then now it just doesn't make sense. Or the bit where, okay, so the Kelsey Grammer's girlfriend character, he proposes, they get engaged. There's a thing where they're, like, out at the pub or whatever, and while they're gone, she, like, puts up all these Christmas decorations. But then my thing, I was like, how did she get all those? Like,
I don't know.
Where'd they come from? How'd she get them so quickly? And then they have a whole thing where she's these huge electric cables. She plugs them together and it, like, blows the fuse box. And I'm like, again, where did she get all this stuff? And also, that wouldn't have happened because it's all UK plugs. So I was like, I felt like they were trying to make it seem like she used, like, American electronics. But I was like, no, she would have had to have ordered it from, like, Amazon UK. So it would have been fine. It wouldn't have overloaded the circuit. I was like, I feel like they're doing this just to try and make her look dumb.
Well, also, like, the whole thing, they went to the pub, but, like, I never saw Felix there, and I was like, so did Elizabeth Hurley just leave Felix at the house by himself to, like, but then later, he's, like, referencing, like, oh, you guys were all over each other last night, or, like, at the pub. I was like, you weren't there. They showed the table many times. You were not there.
Because he's just always in the bathroom.
Yeah, he's just in the bathroom the whole time. Just, the thing is, like, yeah, I feel like there's a nugget of a movie in here. Like, it was, like, sisters who don't get along, and there's an estranged father.
I mean, like,
aspect.
How many great classic British movies? I mean, obviously they're usually period pieces, but it's like they're set in, like, an estate. I mean, it's like Gosford Park. It's at a house for, like, one weekend. Like, yeah. And it's like there's so much going on. And so it's like you can have a great movie with a lot of characters. So there's, like, a lot of, like, you know, glances and crazy storylines and back history, and it works. And it's set in, like, an English, you know, manor house. But this one was just made no sense.
It was just like, what is happening? This is exhausting to watch. Like, yeah, they could have had a fine movie, but it was just, it was a mess. It was a bit of a hot mess.
It was a mess. So, yeah, definitely, if you're going to choose one of these two films to watch, definitely watch Love Hard.
Yeah, I would say as many problems as Love Hard had, like, I would say this movie... Father Christmas is Back. I would not even recommend it. Do not spend your time watching it. It's baffling. The movie is baffling.
It was crazy.
It didn't even have, like, I feel like some of the movies we watched last year were just fun to watch because they were so bad in a different way. Like,
but this one was so bad it was confusing and, like, not entertaining. Like, it was so Yeah, so bad that it, like, just wasn't entertaining anymore, because it's just like, what is this?
You're just like, these are people that I recognize in this film. Like, and I don't understand what's happening. And also, the John Cleese character was acting like an asshole, but, like, I feel like he was actually in the wrong, kind of revealed. I was just like, what? Yeah. I don't understand anything that's happening. But that's Father Christmas is Back. I would give it, like, 2 thumbs down or whatever. Do not recommend.
And I also don't... Yeah, and I guess they were trying to lean into the fact that their last name is... family last name is Christmas.
I hated that.
That just seemed like, an unnecessary, like, point. Just, like, really, really hammering it too far home.
Yeah.
Too much.
But...
So, yeah, definitely Love Hard. It definitely gets... if we're doing a competition, it definitely...
Yeah, if we're having, like, a tournament of... Maybe we should do that. We should have, like, a tournament of champions, like...
Yeah, definitely for the 2021 season, Love Hard has knocked out...
Love Hard's winning so far, so I think
It's a straight-up KO, like, not even close.
Next time, because here's what we're going to be talking about next time, because we know, because as I mentioned, we've scheduled, we're on top of it for once. We're going to be watching, oh my god, we're going to be watching The Princess Switch 3, whatever it's called. It should be called Baby Switch, but it's not. I guarantee you.
Princess Switch 3.
I'm going to say it now.
Baby Switch Tokyo Drift? I don't
I'm going to say it now. I predict that by the end of The Princess Switch 3, someone will be pregnant, if not both of them.
Yeah, for sure.
There'll be some sort of pregnancy. I bet maybe there'll be a pregnancy thing in this one where it's like, oh, they think she's pregnant, but like, the other guy has a pregnancy test, and blah, it'll be a mix-up.
Maybe. I don't know, because there's also, like, whatever artifact they're having to, like...
I know, some holiday heist or whatever, but I guarantee by the end, I'm going to predict that by the end, one will be pregnant. But anyways, The Princess Switch 3...
But if one of them is pregnant, then they all have to be pregnant.
Of course. even the random Vanessa Hudgens... Even the Vanessa Hudgens from A Night...
The movie.
Yeah, the other movie is pregnant now. Thrill. Okay, but then the other one we're watching, which I'm actually really excited about because I watched the trailer for it, is A Castle for Christmas. Really excited for this one.
I haven't watched the trailer for it, but after I watched the two movies this weekend, it's like popped up on the thing. And it's just like, it looks pretty good. Like I think that one could be good because it's based off of a book.
Oh, so really? I didn't know that.
I think it is. So it has, like, a source material. I'm 87% confident that it's based off of a book and has a source material. And then also, I mean, it's, like, Brooke Shields and Carrie Elwes. So, like, that's a fun pairing.
And also, I feel like it's going to have the vibes of the elephant movie we were talking about, whatever that one was called. That's not really a Christmas movie, but, like, because I feel like it had two good people in it. Like, it had Rob Lowe and Kristen
Davis.
I don't know. I was about to say Stewart. I was like, nope, not Stewart. And they just are good, and they had good chemistry, and I feel like that's what this one's going to be, but it actually seems like it's set at Christmas, so I'm very excited about it. So I think Love Hard might get knocked out of the Christmas tournament.
I'll have to do a little... So we'll have those two, and then we got to make a little bracket.
I know, I need Instagram. A bracket. I'll have to do on... I'll try
just
to do
coming
on
up with ideas on the cuff, so...
I know. This is not planned, but those will be our next two, and we're basically just doing these kind of in chronological order of when they come out on Netflix, so there's your hint. But that'll be what we're talking about next time, so if you want to check those out before the episode drops, then you can follow along. It'll be so fun. But yeah, I think that's it for this week. We talked, our Christmas Palooza has kicked off, the Christmas Tournament of Champions. Has started. Love Hard is in the number one spot so far. Well, thanks for listening, everyone. And we'll see you next week.
Bye!
If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe on your favorite podcast listening platform. You can also follow us on Instagram at MyFavoriteSisterPod.
Or shoot us an email at MyFavoriteSisterPod@gmail.com.
Bye!